The following podcast may contain adult language and an abundance of Jeff Goldblum's naked body. So get ready, nerds, because we're talking 1986's The Fly. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Jeff Goldblum's Butt. I am joined, as always, by my fantastic panel of nerds. Yes.
It's a weird butt.
It's a great butt. What are you talking about?
It's a weird butt. It's like really flat.
He was fit.
It's just not, I don't know.
He's a fit young man in this movie.
Why are we talking about Jeff Goldblum's butt? Why,
you are. I'm not.
No, you brought
I don't know what you're talking about. Why? It's
like, The Fly with Jeff Goldblum's butt. It's like, that was like a 2 second part of the movie.
It's the only part of the movie I liked.
The fuck is wrong with you?
Judah's also here. Oh. Hello. What's up?
I enjoyed the butt also.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. So it's a weird butt.
Matthew Cage is also here. What's up, man?
I must have blocked it out. I don't remember the butt at all in this movie, but this is a first watch for me.
Really?
I've always avoided this movie because this is the type of, like, David Cronenberg's a brilliant filmmaker, but this is also the type of movie that he makes that, like, I just don't ever want to sit down and watch because there's so much gross stuff in this movie. I don't like it.
Yeah. It's very gross.
Yeah. It's extremely gross, but it's peak Cronenberg. So I do have a lot to say about it, but I did not enjoy watching this movie.
All right, guys, we're going to spoil the crap out of it. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. It's worth it. It's on HBO Max. If you have that service, you can watch it for free. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back, and we're going to dive into The Fly.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back, everybody. Hey, if you guys want to support what we do here at the podcast, go to saltynerd.com/DC and download a mobile game called Dragon Champions. It's really fun, easy to play hero collecting game where you guys get to grab your heroes, upgrade them, go on the warpath, and have a lot of fun. If you guys type in salty in the promo code area, it gives you a leg up on the competition, extra characters, some gold, some mojo. And then you can join our guild once you reach level 20 at the Salty Nerd Podcast Guild over there. And we have a lot of fun, especially in our Discord app, guys. If you join up there, we have a chat dedicated to Dragon Champions where we get advice from some masterclass level 80 players. We get new codes every once in a while for more upgrades and stuff like that. It's a great community, and it's a great way to pass the time. It's completely free to play. That's saltynerd.com/DC. Help us out over there. It's completely free, and we get a little nice little kickback from the developers. So that's it. All right. The Fly, 1986. Jude, take it away.
All right, sir. 1986, The Fly, rated R with a runtime of 1 hour 34 minutes. This had a budget of $15 million. What do you think this brought into the box office?
$20
million.
$75
million. All right. This movie had a budget of $15 million with a box office of $60 million.
Okay.
We accept that answer.
That's fair.
That's good. Sounds about right.
Do you need to fact check me?
No. No, not at all.
I'm sure Kadish already has.
Remember when they used to fight?
Yeah, I know. It's so good.
Well, he told actually. Us to stop doing that.
Yeah. I was like, guys, would you fucking knock it off, please? Just figure your shit out.
Shut up.
Woman. One of you needs to go make the other one a sandwich. It's the only way we're going to settle this.
All right.
Let's you ready?
Such a girl.
G Gina Davis, who's clearly a reporter, meets scientist Seth Brundle, who lures her back to his science dungeon with the promise of his huge conception of scientific innovation. And when she pulls out a tape recorder, he's like, no, 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 you can't report on this, even though my huge deception tricked you into coming to my chamber of science and I showed you my massive data. He's not ready to reveal his invention to the world yet and convinces her to wait and follow him as he attempts to engineer his fancy phone booths to teleport more than inanimate objects. She agrees and starts documenting his successes and fails, and one night in bed, he realizes the key to transporting something living is the flesh, and they start rubbing theirs up against each other. Gina Davis reveals to her jealous stalker ex-boyfriend boss that she's onto something huge with Jeff Goldblum, and he's like, what, his cock? And she's like, yeah. Anyway, one night, Jeff Goldblum drinks all the champagne and drunkenly decides to test the pods out on himself, and it works, kinda. Turns out there was a fly in the pod. He walked in Seth Brundle and walked out Brundle Fly. And it gets worse. Discuss.
I didn't like this movie either. It was gross.
Yeah.
Not that great.
Mm-hmm.
And gross. I don't know, man. I like Jeff Goldblum as much as anybody, especially because I'm a Jurassic Park nerd and all that stuff. So Jeff Goldblum is just basically Jeff Goldblum. But like... this movie is so over the top, gross, sexual. There's so much sex in this movie, and I'm like, I didn't need that.
Sex?
They were having sex every 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. When he becomes the fly,
he gets all horned up,
insatiable, and she's like, I can't go again.
Oh my god. Yeah. They're like banging for like a day.
Yeah.
A
lot and more then he stamina. Picks up that chick in the bar.
Yeah. And he's like,
he wins her in a bet.
That's right.
That was the 80s. You could win women in bets.
So he's banging.
You can just walk into any place and take a woman.
He's
in the
banging
80s.
His main chick. Yeah. Yeah. And she's like, oh my God, we've been doing this for too long. My vag is like dry and freaking cracked. Like, would you get out of me, please?
Spit on it at least.
And he's like, you're a fucking downer, bitch. And he leaves, goes to a bar, bets a guy that he can beat him in an arm wrestle. And he's like, and if I win, I get to take your lady home. And she's like, okay.
She's like, whoa.
Yeah, that's fair.
And the guy's like, don't worry, babe. I got this.
I got this. And then he snaps his arm in half.
She's into it. Whatever.
I was like, oh my God, this movie's ridiculous.
The next morning, she's so not surprised when Gina Davis comes home. She's like,
oh,
fine. I gotta go. I guess we're not getting breakfast. Peace.
Well, what was funny is like she went back home with the guy who just brutally maimed her boyfriend. And it was just like, what girl would do that?
Well, that was so hot. He showed her
how strong he was.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you about 1985. Okay.
That's the reason why I don't like arm wrestling, because I've seen too many videos of people's elbows and freaking forearms like snapping in half.
Over the top.
That's a move. You can beat anybody when you go over the top.
Drive your semi with your left hand while you pump with your right hand. That's right. We gotta do that movie.
So I'm gonna do a Stallone week pretty soon.
Gotta go over the top.
Over the top.
The grossest part of this movie is her ex-boyfriend.
Oh, he's so sleazy.
He's the worst.
But then he becomes like the hero at the end of the movie. It was such bullshit. I was like, no, that guy's supposed to die brutally.
Yeah.
And he's like, I got you, babe. And he like,
loses a hand and a leg.
Oh, that was gruesome. So gruesome. Like,
okay.
We got to get there, though.
Do we have to get there?
As Jeff Goldblum increasingly starts getting more fly-like, he starts developing all of the things that flies do.
Yeah.
Like when he eats food, he has to regurgitate on it, liquefy it, and then he can consume it.
Yeah.
So he starts using it as a weapon and melting this guy's body parts off.
They go full like Temple of Doom on this dude.
Yeah.
It was fucking gross.
You gotta slime it up and make it.
When he does his leg though, he spits on his leg and then it starts dissolving. And then he rips it apart. You can see like the bones and shit. I was like, oh my God.
Pretty gnarly.
It was gnarly.
Yeah.
Pretty gnarly.
Jeff Goldblum was sexy for about 1 minute in this movie.
Yeah, when he came out and he was all like shredded.
Ooh,
and fit.
Yeah.
I was reading some trivia thing on it and they were like, yeah, Jeff Goldblum worked out for like 6 months or something like that to get in shape for this role. And you can tell because at the beginning of the movie, he's like a scrawny little dude.
Yeah.
And then by the midpoint of the movie where he's like prime Brundlefly,
good.
He's like freaking shredded.
Yeah.
Brundlefly.
Brundlefly. Yeah, and he was doing like gymnastics in his hallway and shit like that or whatever. It was cool. That was probably the easiest part to watch. And I was like, oh, Jeff Goldblum's doing cool shit. And then it was like a quick turn to the gross again.
Yeah.
Well,
it gets real ugly real fast.
What was the budget on this?
15 million.
That was all special effects.
Yeah it had to be because man, they
went all out.
Yeah,
but, you know, unlike the classic 58 version or whatever, this movie actually does have some pretty decent special effects for the time.
Yeah. I'm not at all begrudging.
Yeah, it's just gross. It's a gross movie.
It's gross.
But you know, when you think about it, he's turning into a fly.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of needs to be a little gross.
It needs to be a little gross, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I didn't really have any problems with it. I'm kind of glad I watched this movie again because my memory of watching it initially way back when was that it was gross and I hated it and didn't want to watch it again. But this time, I didn't really think of it that way. I mean, I didn't enjoy this movie. It's not a great movie, okay? But I can appreciate the special effects that they put into this thing. Mm-hmm. It was kind of interesting.
It's not a bad movie, but I didn't enjoy myself when I was watching it.
Mm-hmm.
I was too grossed out a lot of the time. And although I appreciated the special effects and like the horror nature of it, they went in a direction halfway through this movie that I wasn't expecting and I didn't like. And it was the whole like abortion thing, which is like, oh my God, I'm pregnant and it might be a mutant fly person. And I'm like, okay, that's a legitimate worry, but still, do we really need that? And then what irritated me with it is like, they go through, she has a dream, but they don't tell you it's a dream sequence until afterwards. Yeah. And they go and they show like this brutal abortion sequence where she's like her legs up and there's blood everywhere. Yeah. And they pull like this giant maggot out of her vagina.
Standing next
and
door holding
her and the gross sleazy boyfriend is like, it's all gonna be okay, babe. I'm like, I was like, okay, no, I'm good. I don't need this. I don't need to see this. This is fucking gross.
You know,
I didn't like any of that shit. And then what really irritated me specifically with that was they brought this whole thing up. I have a baby and it might be a gross fly person and I don't know what's going to happen. I want it out of my body. And then that movie ends and they never address it. The dream sequence was the farthest they ever got.
They address it in part two.
Well, that's what we have movies like.
I'm not watching the sequel.
What was that movie we watched a couple weeks ago with the thing with the creature that they grew in the lab?
Why am I drawing a blank right now? I don't know.
Were you not here?
That they grew in the lab?
Yeah. You mean Poltergeist?
No.
Oh.
Are you talking about The Thing?
No. I'm talking about the movie where the thing gets older and they go to the barn and it turns into a
Splice.
Oh, Splice. Yeah.
Same kind of thing at the end where she's got the baby.
Yeah, yeah. But they leave it on like a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
I'm not watching the sequel.
Yeah.
So what's funny about that is they basically shot like four or five different endings to the movie. And when they test screened them all, basically David Cronenberg was like, you know what? Nothing seems to basically carry on the emotion past, you know, Brundle dying because he's the main character. So he's like, so we're just going to end it after we kill him. And that was the decision on the ending. Like, it's a very abrupt ending.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they were like, yeah, audiences didn't like any of the other stuff we shot, so we're just not going to include it.
Fuck them. Question.
Yeah.
Were Jeff Goldblum and Gina Davis married at this point?
No, they were dating.
Okay.
And in fact, it was kind of funny because David Cronenberg, when he came on the project, he wanted to cast an unknown. Mm-hmm. And so his choice was Jeff Goldblum. And the studio kind of fought him on it because they wanted a name. But David Cronenberg doesn't like working with, like, name actors because he's more about the performance than the brand. And so when he cast Jeff Goldblum, Jeff Goldblum was like, hey, can you cast my girlfriend Gina Davis? And at the time, like, you know, nobody knew who she was. Mm-hmm. And Cronenberg was like, oh, I don't want to cast your stupid girlfriend. But he, to humor Jeff Goldblum, he had her come in an audition and she just killed the audition. Like she was better than anyone else.
They're
that they
both
saw.
So good in this.
And she has that iconic line, be afraid.
Yeah.
Be very afraid.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
But I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but the real person behind this movie, the person who made sure it got made, was Mel Brooks.
Really?
Yeah.
This doesn't have any of his fingerprints on it.
Yeah.
Which is what makes it cool.
Yeah, so basically Mel Brooks, for a time, like he was like, you know, producing movies, and he was afraid that his name being attached to this movie would have people think it's a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And so he kept it on the like hardcore DL that, you know, he was involved in producing it. And so like, not a lot of people know that like, this is all Mel Brooks's thing. In fact, he came up with that line, be afraid, be very afraid and stuff like that. And he was the one responsible for getting, David Cronenberg involved in the movie, because originally it was going to be a different director, but unfortunately that director on vacation, like there was a terrible accident and his daughter died, and so he had to pull out.
Oh God!
And at the time, David Cronenberg was actually getting ready to shoot Total Recall for Dino De Laurentiis, and they had some creative differences, and that movie eventually ended up falling through for Cronenberg, went on with Schwarzenegger and Verhoeven. But Cronenberg, after that movie, Mel Brooks came up to him and was like, kid, I want you to come in. I want you to, you know, direct this movie. And he read the script, and the script was actually written by this guy named Charles Edward. And apparently it was really bad. It was a terrible script. And Cronenberg wasn't a fan of the original Fly. But one of the interesting things that Charles Edward had in his script was that was this slow transformation. Instead of like just coming out of the teleportation with like a fly head, there was a slow transformation process, and Cronenberg was like, you know what, I think I can do something with that. And so Cronenberg basically rewrote the script from page one, but kept that kind of concept in there. So this movie is pure David Cronenberg. Like this has his fingerprints all over it. He's big into body horror. He's big into like gross stuff. And like at the time, like I remember the commercials for this movie. Every time I'd see him on TV, it would freak me the F out. And I was like, I'm never watching this movie. So thank you, Jude, for forcing me.
Oh, yeah.
I was so surprised when he said that he had never seen it before.
Well, he doesn't like this stuff.
Yeah, but
he gets grossed out.
Film school.
You know what's gross? The grossest part to me is it's not at the end when he's like full on.
He's molting.
Yeah. It was like when the really weird stuff's starting to happen to him, like the weird bristle hairs coming out of his back.
Oh, when he's like chewing off his nails.
Yeah.
And his teeth fall stuff out. Oh, God.
That gets me way more than a full body prosthetic gross thing. That doesn't bother me at all.
When he opens the bathroom cupboard and his dick is in a fucking cup.
Yeah. That's the stuff. It's like when you chew your fingernail and
it just comes off.
Rots off. I'm like, oh. Yeah, that's the gross
shit. His body parts start falling off and he just keeps them in the bathroom cupboard.
Yeah, his teeth start falling out and he's like, oh no, what am I going to do?
The worst scene for me was the Inside Out baboon.
When I saw that, I was like,
brutal. Ooh. Brutal. Yeah.
But what was funny about the baboons is you can't train a baboon, right? Like there is no such thing as a domesticated baboon that will like, you know, take direction. And so every scene with the baboon in this movie, it was just like, it was a wild baboon. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of concern on set because like, it would, like if a baboon becomes aggressive, like there's really nothing you can do to protect yourself from it. And what they did was before they got on set, because Jeff Goldblum was such a big guy, he worked with the animal trainers and he basically established dominance over the baboon. Mm-hmm. And so like every time the baboon's jumping up on him, that's like genuine like submission, you know, to Jeff Goldblum. And they had to have Jeff Goldblum on the set to keep the baboon in line. Otherwise it would like try to like have sex with like some women and stuff like that. Some of the female crew members and stuff like that. Yeah. And so, you know, Goldblum had to be there to regulate.
Jeff Goldblum, baboon trainer.
Baboon dominator.
He's like, I'm fairly alarmed here.
Well, Cronenberg went on record. He's like, I'm never working with another baboon because those things are scary.
Working with animals in movies is like rarely a good idea, which kind of explains why we have all this shitty CGI stuff going on now. I don't know. This movie crossed the line with the abortion thing just because that scene was so gross and over the top. I didn't want to watch it. And that's kind of where I checked out. The full fly transformation thing was pretty freaking neat when his skin started like sloughing off. Mm-hmm.
Did you guys know that this is an Oscar winning picture?
For special effects?
For special makeup effects.
Does not shock me at all.
I can see that for sure. But the ending was so sad though, because he like comes crawling out of the teleporter when he's all fucked up. And like she's got the shotgun and he grabs the shotgun and puts it up to his head. Uh-huh. And he can't speak. He's just like, just show me. Just end it. I'm like, oh my God.
Help me.
Yeah, that was the help me part. Help me. That was brutal and very sad.
Yeah.
But I don't understand why they made the sleazy, gross stalker boyfriend like the hero at the end. I feel like that
was just something of the time. Like that was in movies all the time and nobody thought anything of it. It's only today that we're like, this guy's fucking out of line. But in the 80s, that went completely over your head because that's just how it was.
Wasn't there a sleazy boyfriend in Die Hard?
Hans. Booby.
Yes, that guy.
The booby.
The cocaine guy.
I mean, he's not the boyfriend.
He wasn't? I thought he was hitting on McClane's wife.
He was, but...
Okay. But he's like the equivalent of the sleazy boyfriend.
Yeah. Well, but the thing was, so like in the original The Fly, 1958 movie, you had Vincent Price, who was the brother of the scientist who had a thing for his wife. Mm-hmm. And but he wasn't like creepy about it. So in this one, I think they took that character and kind of like... 80 made him 80s, you know, relevant.
Made him her boss,
yeah,
and her ex,
yeah. And there was a lot of like weird stuff going on, like the fact that, like, okay, this was before sexual harassment in the workplace,
right,
took off. This was before like the hashtag Me Too stuff,
yeah,
but like it's all there. Like he was terrible, and then like he slowly transitions. In fact, there were other scenes showing him, like, you know, doing like hero stuff that they had to cut out because audiences hated his character so much. And they just didn't buy any of his sympathetic turns.
I am finally onto something that's big, huge.
Yeah? What? His cock?
So this is a very hard movie for me to watch, mm-hmm. because I hate body horror. I think David Cronenberg is actually a brilliant filmmaker, but a lot of his stuff, like, it turns me off so hard. And that's because Cronenberg's the type of filmmaker, he sees a line, he's like, how far past that line can I go and get away with it?
To the maggot out of the vagina, I was like, bro, I didn't need to see that. The thing was fucking huge, and it was all squirreling around, she was screaming, I was like,
you called it okay.
But, you know, we watched the original version of this movie, the 1958 version. So, like, how would you compare the two?
Oh, they took it to 11.
Uh-huh. Oh, like, yeah. 100%.
Yeah. I mean, the basics are still there.
I mean, the concept is the same, but the movies are not related at all.
It's got a blueprint. The story's got the blueprint, but they just took they took everything and they cranked it up.
How far was it between 58 and 86?
Yeah, like 30 years.
68, 70, I guess. How long has it been since they made this movie?
Math is hard.
Are we due for a new Fly?
Yeah, remake? Technically. 30, yeah, it'll be 30 some odd years.
I want to know what they would do now.
It'd be probably 40 years.
I want a remake of this movie.
Well, what was interesting about
it. Do you really?
I bet it wouldn't be as bad, as gross as the 86.
What was interesting about this film from Cronenberg's point of view is basically his theme was that there are two people who love each other and one of them gets a terrible disease and it's killing him. And, you know, you're watching their relationship over the course of like a terminal disease, basically. Mm-hmm. And he was like, but that's boring for audiences, so we're going to make it gross. Yeah. And that was basically the allegory that that Cronenberg approached this story with, was that, like, you know,
watching a loved one die slowly.
Yeah, exactly. And seeing like how they change over time and stuff like that. Because at first, like Brundle, what's his name?
Butterfly?
Seth Brundle.
Seth?
No, the actor's name.
Jeff Goldblum.
Okay. So Jeff Goldblum's character goes through all like seven stages of grief in this movie, like if you really watch it, and it's a real tragedy, but it's told in such a horrific way that like you don't pick up on a lot of the more subtle subtext that Cronenberg's kind of layering into this film. And because of that, like, it's a weird movie for me, because like on its surface it's like pure body horror. It's got like, you know, like the abortion scene and like, you know, the makeup effects of him turning into like a weird mutant fly thing.
Dead animal.
Yeah. And it's like that stuff makes it hard to watch, but like there's deeper stuff to this movie, but it just gets overshadowed by all the gross stuff that, you know, Cronenberg layered into it.
A modern remake, if they were to come back to the well and remake this movie, it would be all the weird CRISPR genetic testing shit that they're doing. It wouldn't be like a teleportation thing. It would be like, well, we've learned how to manipulate human DNA, and I'll shoot you up with this certain type of thing. It'll give you better vision and longer life, and then you start getting freaking growing legs and shit. And
there's a scene in this movie where they're at a coffee shop, and Jeff Goldblum is like, he almost acts like he's on cocaine. He's just like spooning sugar into his coffee. Mm-hmm. And that scene was basically rewritten by Jeff Goldblum the night before to kind of like add all that dialogue where, like, you know, he's just spouting this stuff off because, you know, like he had this vision in his mind. It's like, okay, first of all, like, I'm going to, like, you know, act like this is a really good thing. And then like slowly but surely, like, it's like, oh, this is taking a bad turn. Uh-huh. But every time he
made a terrible mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every time he vomited in this movie to regurgitate stuff, it turned me off so bad. And when he gets into the makeup, so like there's a scene where like basically like Gina Davis has to like hug him to try to, you know, like comfort him.
Yeah.
And she was like legitimately grossed out by the makeup. But then like, one of Jeff Goldblum's ears accidentally fell off.
That wasn't supposed to happen.
That was basically like a blooper, but Gina Davis's reaction was genuine because like, she was like, oh, that's so gross. And so like Cronenberg was like, I'm leaving that in the movie.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's cool. All right. Final thought. It's not a bad movie. It's definitely better written than the original one, I think. There's less plot holes and stuff like that. And it's more tragic with him slowly turning into a fly instead of just like, boom, suddenly having a fly head. Mm-hmm. So it makes a little bit more sense that way. But I did not feel good watching this movie. This was like, I was like, oh God, when is this going to be over? And it just kept getting grosser and grosser and grosser until it finally ended. It is a tragedy. This is a sad movie. Like, it's not happy in any way. There's no happy ending here.
Doesn't make you feel good.
I did get a little irritated with just the dropped plot line of the abortion. I would have at least liked to have known what she ended up doing, and I'm not watching the freaking sequel, so fuck off with that. That was really another thing. I'd probably give this, just on a technical, like, I have to tip my hat to the prosthetics and the puppetry and all that stuff, so I'm gonna give it, enjoyment wise, it's like a 1.5, but technical wise, like a 3, because there's a lot of really cool stuff going on in this movie that is really, really over the top gross. So I'm going to give it 2.5 stars out of 5 on grossness alone.
Okay.
God, it's so gross. V, how about you?
I don't know what to add.
Just.
But you always say what I want to say.
Your rating.
I think I'm going to give it 2.5 stars as well.
Right down the middle.
Yeah. This is going to sound weird, but if there's two people in the movie world that I never want to see naked, it's Jeff Goldblum and Gina Davis. I'm sorry. They're just weird.
You know, you can find naked pictures of Jeff Goldblum on the beach,
they're
right?
They're just weird.
They're out there.
They're just weird, tall, lanky giraffe people.
And I'm like, hasn't he been Sexiest Man Alive like more than once?
Probably. I don't know.
They're just.
I know there was some paparazzi thing where he was at like a nude beach and they were just like snapping photos left and right. And he was like,
he's probably wearing whatever, like European thong.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was like nude.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
And I know, I couldn't believe it either. And I was like, really? And I Googled it and I was like, oh, yep, there it is.
I was going to say, I got to check that out, but I really don't. I don't need to check that out at all.
He's like, I don't need that on my search history.
2.5 stars.
2.5. All right, Jude, take it away.
I love this movie.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. And you know, I love horror. I love Jeff Goldblum. I love Gina Davis. I love horror. And I think that this movie was so very successful in what it was trying to accomplish. It made you uncomfortable. It grossed you out. It did everything it set out to do. Mm-hmm. Watching it today with the creepy stalker ex-boyfriend who's also her boss, I fucking hate all of that. And yeah. I could do without him in the movie completely. And then it would probably be a perfect movie for me. I think that the relationship is so super believable. And then like Jeff Goldblum acting through all of the prosthetics on him and the emotion that he like sends through all of that, you totally believe everything that's going on with him. And like her reaction to it is, it's so perfectly achieved. I love this movie. It's not a 5-star movie for me because of the ex-boyfriend. I hate him and I hate all of the scenes that he's in, except for the one where he's like, what, his cock? That was hilarious. So I give it 4 baboons out of 5.
Okay. 4 Inside Out baboons or normal baboons?
Normal baboons.
Okay.
Yeah. 4 baboons trying to fuck the crew out of 5.
Okay. There's the spin. All right, Kadesh, go ahead, buddy.
All right. So it's kind of funny because I believe this was the last movie that that Goldblum and Davis did together as like a couple. I think that they broke up shortly after this.
When was they got married, right?
No,
they were never married.
I don't think they were ever married, but it's kind of funny because at a certain point, Gina Davis did marry. She married Rennie Harlan, who was a director, and for a while there, like every movie that she did was directed by her husband. And they had actually been trying to get a sequel to The Fly going, in the 90s, and it was going to be called Flies. And it was going to pick up after the events of this movie, where basically she went on to have twins. And the movie was going to be about the two offspring of Jeff Goldblum.
I don't need it.
And luckily, that movie never got off the ground.
Isn't there a movie called Son of Fly too? It's like a spinoff of those.
I think that might have been one of the original sequels to the 1958 movie. But I have a great deal of respect for David Cronenberg. I think he's a really good filmmaker. And I can appreciate this movie on a technical level, on like a filmmaking level, but God, is it gross. like I never wanted to actually sit down and watch this movie, and my lovely lady here made me. I did it for her.
You would have faked it, wouldn't you? You would have been like, oh, guys, I totally watched this.
I would have just showed up and been like, guys, I didn't watch this.
It's all you.
It's pulled the Vader card.
And like Cronenberg, like a lot of his stuff, like he just came out with a movie called the Crimes of the Future, I believe it's called. And that looks gross as hell too.
Oh yeah. That's the one with Viggo Mortensen.
It's Viggo.
It's Viggo. Yeah. That looked fucking weird.
And like, Existence and like all this other like weird stuff that he's done. And like every time I see a trailer for a David Cronenberg movie, I'm just like, I really don't want to see that.
Who's the director that did like Eraserhead and shit like that?
Oh, that's David Lynch.
Lynch. Okay. Yeah. Lynch is another director that I cannot watch his movies.
Oh, I love David Lynch.
Freaks me the fuck. How can Lynch you like that, genius. But you think this shit's like, I find his shit more unsettling.
Yeah. And it's always just so fucking weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Lynch movies are fun, whereas Cronenberg movies are gross.
You have a strange definition of fun.
well, they're fun because you can read so many different things into them, and he's a real cinemaphile. Like, he's someone who, you watch a David Lynch movie, no two people can watch a David Lynch movie the same way. Like everyone brings something different away from that. So, like, and it's kind of funny because the movie that they did before this, which was David Lynch's Elephant Man, that was also produced by Mel Brooks. And so like there was like some shared DNA between those two movies.
Brooks has got a dark side, huh?
I guess. Yeah. But overall, like this movie, it's not a bad movie by any means, but it is just like gross. And like after, watching Night of the Chicken Dead, I just wasn't ready for like another really, really bad, gross movie.
November has been very, very.
It's been rough.
a lot of body fluids going on and stuff. Yeah.
So I'm kind of with Alex on this, in the sense that like on an enjoyment level, it's like a 1 star, but like on a technical level, it's at least a 3 star. So I'm just gonna go with 2 regurgitation vomits out of 5.
All right. Question.
Yeah.
Jeff Goldblum and Gina Davis have been in a lot of movies together.
They've been 3.
Is it just 3?
Yeah.
Okay. So it was Transylvania 65,000, which we've done for the podcast.
Oh, she was the vampire.
Yeah. Okay. This one. I think that's when they met. And then Earth Girls Are Easy, which is 2 years after this. Okay. I went down a Jeff Goldblum rabbit hole.
You watched Jurassic Park this week, didn't you?
Yeah, I watched Jurassic Park. I watched Independence Day. And I had never seen Earth Girls Are Easy before. And I heard that it was like really campy and fun. And 100% that's true.
Okay.
I loved it.
Cool. Right on. We'll have to add it to the list one of these days.
He's so hot in it. Oh my God. And she is fire.
I guess Earth Girls really are easy.
She.
Well, when you're Jeff Goldblum.
Right. Yeah. I would bang Ellie.
Jim Carrey was Jeff in that, Goldblum. Wasn't he?
Yeah. So Gina Davis is in that, and she like she's in this bad relationship, and she's trying to like woo her boyfriend back, and she puts on a blonde wig and this skin tight lingerie thing, and she's like, "Honey," and she comes out, and I was just like I was like a cartoon. My eyes fell out and my tongue fell out. And I was like, ooga-ing. I was like, oh my God, I've never seen her this sexy before.
I'll have to watch that movie.
I just don't find her attractive.
Okay. Good for you.
It's weird.
She's a redhead, isn't she?
No.
No?
Hell no.
That's brunette.
She's brunette.
All right. Is that it? That's it for the show, huh? All right, cool. 1986 is The Fly. Let us know what you think. Is it a perfect movie? Is it 5 star? Do you think we're just a bunch of squeamish little babies?
Except for me.
Except for Jude. Let us know in the comments. I thought it was gross.
I thought it was great.
I didn't think
it was that gross. It just, fingernails are getting pulled off or gross.
Yeah. Dick in a cup.
It's your dick in the cups.
All right, V. On that note. Where can people find you?
Oh, you can find me at MattVader74 on the Twitter. I'm a check mark.
Blue check mark.
I'm a check mark. Yeah. I pay for that privilege.
Do you feel important now?
I'm glad I did it because there was like a 6-hour window when you could like actually do it. Mm-hmm. Then he said, nope.
only for iPhone users, too.
That's right. That's
okay. And what's funny is, so like Drunk 3PO did it as well. And now he's got all the emojis, the Thanksgiving emojis stuck in his name.
Oh, no.
Because you can't change your name after you do it.
Pretty funny stuff. Not going to lie.
That's funny.
But yeah, you can find me there on Twitter at MattVader74. And you can also find me here on this same channel every Saturday morning live with Mr. Kadish over there as we talk about the week's news, trending things, and fun little things that we like to talk about with our friends and Brian from the podcast.
All right. So,
yep.
Jude.
You can find us on Facebook at saltynerdgroup.com. And hey, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, as long as you're not driving, if you are on an Apple device, please scroll down and give us 5 stars on Apple Podcast. It really makes a difference, and we want it. So please do that. And you can find me on TikTok and on Instagram at IamJudeJuju.
All right, Matthew Kadish.
You can find me at Matthew Kadish, K-A-D-I-S-H, on Twitter and Truth Social. KadishBooks.com takes you to our Amazon page. And if you haven't followed the official Salty Nerd account on Twitter, Salty_Nerd, please do so. We're trying to grow that that following there so more people can get exposed to our hot takes on the Twitter. So it's been a lot of fun since Elon took over. So
yes, it has.
We'd appreciate the support.
All right, guys, you guys can join our community on Discord at saltynerddiscord.com. Or if you want to support us a different way, you can buy some merch. We've got some really cool t-shirts. The one I'm wearing right now is one of my favorites. It's the official retro logo in honor of Retro Rewatch Month. And that's at saltynerdstore.com. And don't forget, type in salty in the checkout counter for 10% off of your purchase. All right, guys, thanks so much for watching the video. Stay salty. See you next time.